Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
As you roll into hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Yankees about to get underway in Baltimore. Mets getting underway at Citi Field against the Cubs. And we are with you here. 800-919-3776, of course, is the number to be part of the conversation here. And as the Mets get underway, the ending, like I said, the ending of that game yesterday was a bizarre one. And as we're talking about, like, the L2M from the NBA, right, as the league puts out the report of the last 2 minutes and tells you why calls were made and what happened and some that were incorrect calls and all the other stuff. Like, the Mets lost 1-0. So, first of all, couldn't really score. But second of all, it was a bizarre ending because Pete Alonso has a chance to score. And it ended up being a double play. And Nick Madrigal did a great job with the relay. An absolute dart, right? But it looked like Alonso got in there. Now, he dove head first, put his hand underneath, which is dangerous, as we know. But it just seemed like that he got to the plate without being tagged. And the catcher was sort of blocking it, but not really blocking it. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know all the details of what's right and wrong because I was looking at the hand.
He slid with his hand, like, up, with his fingers up and his palm down. You know what I mean? I'm assuming that's just naturally happens by physics. You know, Pete Alonso being a creatine dude probably had too much peck on the ground.
I don't know.
I'm messing with you.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is
it would have been funny if he'd have went foot first and see if that guy would have sit there with his foot coming straight at his ball sack.
But he was behind the plate and then kind of like went forward, which is the new way to do it now because you can't block the plate, but it doesn't mean you can't dive forward on it. So the replay center's whole thing was that what that setup was fine. He didn't do anything illegal there. But I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. But didn't he get there earlier? Didn't he get there? So anyways, Carlos Mendoza lost it. I mean, he went – and the thing is, the umpire's mic was still hot. So Mendoza went out there and lost his mind. But here's some of what he tried to explain, what was said to him afterwards.
They send out a memo in spring training what's legal and what's illegal. And it's clearly on that email, that memo that we got, that catchers are not allowed to have their foot in front of the plate. On top of the plate, they cannot straddle without possession of the baseball. And it was very clearly that the guy was, you know, had his left foot on top of the plate without the baseball. So, like, I think they got the wrong call.
So he's looking at that part of it, which is the part, like, I kept saying, I don't think any of this matters. I think his hand got there. But I think what Mendoza was trying to say was, well, if you can't see that the hand was there, you got to look at the way he was, it seemed to be blocking the plate. There's more from Mendoza.
Without possession of the baseball, he cannot be in front of the plate, straddle the plate, or have his foot on top of the plate. And it was clearly on the replay that wasn't the case. He was blocking, you know, without possession of the baseball. So
Pete Alonso's take on it was this.
I was out. I mean, I hustled as hard as I could. I made the best slide I could possibly make, and the umpire said I was out, so I was out.
I would have been a little madder than that, but I think he was just trying to let it go. He ran as hard as he could, but now the only question I would have, again, it wasn't for a winning run, so you still would have had to have somebody playing, but he might be one of your slowest players, and you needed to get that run. Alonso on the replay center ruling.
It's really simple. I just thought I was safe, and they're going through it, and then they made the call, and it's like, shucks, darn it.
What do you feel about that part?
Shucks, darn it.
How do you feel about that?
Like, it's tough. Like,
he just wanted to move on from it, clearly.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do about it by pouting, so you just move on from it. You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
he said shucks and darn it. We do have Mendoza with the hot mic going at the umpire.
I'm not in replay. I'm telling you
but
what they told me.
The rule says you cannot stand on home plate without the baseball.
I'm not arguing with you, Carlos, but I'm saying
that's
I don't see it.
Man.
Hey,
that's bull.
Take that up with the office.
Shucks, darn it.
Hey, I love what I love the fire I saw from Mendoza, right? But the shucks, darn it, I could do without. So a 1-0 loss instead to the Cubs. Frustrating one. But one I couldn't understand. And I would, again, I would like anybody else to try to explain it to me. I really did think, I thought he got his hand in there.
Me too.
Should he have gone, should he have come in? How about this?
Up a little bit.
Should he have come in spikes up?
That's what I was saying.
He's blocking the plate.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Caught him right in the gonads. Got a game of vasectomy on the spot.
Ouch. That would definitely hurt. But still.
Yeah.
One of those controversial plays, man.
Yeah.
And what the umpire was saying there, too, when you hear him talk about how you take it up with the replay center, that is not their discretion on the replay. He made the initial call, which is, I think, if you're Mendoza, you're mad that how did you not see it, first and foremost, that you had to go to review, right? So that's number one. So you hear the umpire sort of say, you know, take it up with the replay center as if he's watching here. Listen to how he says it. It's almost like he's trying to take no accountability for the call.
I'm not in replay. I'm telling you what they told me.
The rule says you cannot stand on home plate without the baseball.
I'm not arguing with you, Carlos, but I'm saying
that's
I don't
bull,
see it.
Man.
Hey,
that's bull.
Take that up with the office.
Now, when he says I'm not arguing with you, right? If you're Mendoza, you're like, well, then why didn't you call it? Like, you could have called that originally, and you didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's the bigger part of the problem, is that where's the call originally? That's what I want to know. That never happened. So if you're watching the replay, and the replay then center is saying, no, he did everything fine, you're mad at the replay center. He can't change the call in the field. But he could have originally called it that way, and he didn't. And I think that's what Mendoza was more angry about. Was that something? This happened. He was blocking the plate by our view. The foot was on the plate. You know they reviewed it in the dugout. And they didn't see it that way. And there's memos and everything else about all this stuff. And that's what gets frustrating. Is there's always, wait, this is supposed to be the letter of the law, but yet this happened, and you're telling me that now the letter of the law doesn't work here on this instance. We see this in all of sports. This is not just a baseball thing. This is all in sports, and that's what makes it frustrating. It's what a lot of coaches and managers say, the consistency factor. That's all they want is consistency. And so the Mets get a loss instead of play extra innings there. And, again, Pete Alonso, you know, did not really seem to be as upset about it.
Shucks, darn it.
I mean, that's basically it.
Gee golly beef.
I mean, that's all he had to say.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising.
You know, it's one of those things, man. When you start off the way that the Mets started off, you got to try. You want to try and get as many of those as you can. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're a 500 team. That's what they're playing. I don't know how much more expectations you would have with this team. 500 is sort of what you were feeling, right?
Yeah.
This wasn't going to be a 90-win team. This was going to be a team that was going to sort
of high 80s and maybe getting in a wild card.
That's basically what you're looking at, right? Is it around 500? That's kind of ball they're playing. But these are the types of games, though, that can impact whether you're 5 or 6 games above 500 or if you're well below 500 or at 500. Games like this, with that close, margin of error, very small for a team like this. So you can understand it. But it's more about the rule thing and everything else. And it ties into, like we said, the thing about the end of game 5 with the Knicks and the Sixers, where the NBA puts out every game that are close games, a thing they call the L2M, the last 2-minute report. And they will tell you that if there was something on the court that was an incorrect call. Most of the time you see correct call, correct call, correct call, or a no call. That they'll see something that's close and maybe, you know, this could be interpreted as a foul. They'll say correct, no call, CNC. And then there was the Maxi, the infamous now, 4-point play, which he's fouled by Mitchell Robinson. A 6-point lead suddenly turns to 2 with 30 seconds to go. And the league actually watched it and ruled that it should have been waved off because he traveled by moving his feet. He moved both feet before the shot. So that shot shouldn't have counted. And there's nothing you can do about it. What do they always say? Toothpaste can't be put back into the tube? Like, that's essentially what we're saying here. So, okay, you acknowledge that it should have been waved off. When you watch it in real time, there's no chance a referee would have seen that. It was a very subtle move of the foot. And the question just becomes, these last 2-minute reports, are they doing more harm than good because you're breathing life into a missed call that otherwise would have been already over with the next day? Should all sports either adopt this type of thing? Like, should baseball today put out a statement saying, we watched that back, and no, he was blocking the plate. It should have been, the run should have been allowed, and, you know, the game should not have been over. But you can't go back and change it. You can't go back and replay it, but you acknowledge that there was a mistake.
Yeah.
But they went to the replay center. I can't imagine you're going to say that a replay center was wrong. So, are they doing more harm than good? Let's go to Candy in Jersey. Hey, Candy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call again. Hi, Bard.
Hey, what up?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good.
So, listen, let me start by saying let's go Knicks, okay? I really need them to win this series because the Philly, everything about the Philly, the fans, the players, the owner, they have cried their whole way this whole series, and it's actually annoying. I don't know that I've witnessed a series that had this much crying in it. And it's really, really annoying. From the grievance that the coach filed for championship point guard inbound and championship coach, you don't call a timeout. Your fans are crying because of what the Knicks fans has been in your building. You're still not buying the tickets. Your owner is crying because he's crying to the fans to come out. The players cry after every possible thing that could happen. You guarantee a series. Like, it's so annoying to watch. And I'm realizing that, have they yet taken accountability for their part? Like, we're not talking anything. We're not popping any mess to them. Like, we're just coming out and playing. We take accountability for what we got going on. And it's just so annoying to watch. I just needed to point that out. And thank you for letting me. Let's go, Knicks.
Thank you, Candy.
Knicks in six.
Like I said, the whole thing.
Hi, boy.
The whole thing with the. Did you notice, by the way, she did that? And then when it was me, she's like, hi, Alan.
No, because she saw you was drinking some water.
She saw me?
Telepathically. Third eye.
Hi, Bard.
Hey, what up?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
See what I mean?
It's like, so you're saying that's like the Barack Obama and Key and Peele?
Yes, yes.
It's definitely put it the Key and Peele. Bring
it's
it
the
in.
Key and Peele. Yeah, right. It's definitely the Key and Peele.
How are you?
100%.
Right. That feel good. You feel that?
You got dapped, and I got the handshake.
All right.
Hello, how are you doing? Good to see you. I love Candy. That's all right. But I agree on the front of the owners coming out. Like this idea that they have to do this campaign begging fans to come to the game. Or please don't sell your tickets to Knicks fans. What? What kind of sport? Like, honestly, I feel like Philadelphia just lost its cred. Isn't that supposed to be one of the toughest sports towns? Remember it's the whole they booed Santa Claus thing? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember this is supposed to be a tough sports town. That you know you're taking your life into your own hands. You go to a game there from outside, right?
Yes, sir.
Now they're begging their fans to go to a playoff game. They're begging their fans not to sell their tickets because oh no, New Yorkers are going to come cheer their team because we know you don't want to come cheer our team. I think the city. I'm telling you right now, as a sports town, you lost your cred. I don't care about your Super Bowl and whenever the hell that was. I don't care about the World Series and you get into the World Series and get into the Super Bowl again. I don't care about all that. Are you kidding me? There was a time where I heard a story about Philadelphia that I think is an amazing one from way back in the day when it actually was a tough sports town. And their fans went to games. And you didn't want to go there if you were from the outside, you didn't want to go to a game. True story, 1980. Islanders playing the Flyers in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Islanders had the lead in the series. They could have clinched in Game 5 on the road. So they brought all their office people with them to the Spectrum in Philadelphia. And they bought up tickets in the upper bowl. And they wanted all their office people there because if they had won the cup, they were going to have a big party. So they wanted all the employees there to all celebrate together. So all these people are all sitting in the upper deck area, upper bowl of the Spectrum, which wasn't a gigantic building. It was, you know, media. It had two levels. And as the game was, like, getting set up, people up there realized that these are all Islanders people. And they were letting them know, if your team wins tonight, you're not getting out of this building alive. Like, there are people that told me for the book I wrote that they were getting threats about, like, cheering too loud and don't let your team win tonight because we're all going to be drunk and pissed and you're not getting out of here. And they were scared. And there were a lot of them that they sat in their hands. They didn't want to cheer. Like, they were like let's just be polite. Let's not start any trouble. And if we win, let's just get out of here and get downstairs and celebrate. Now, they lost that game. They ended up winning at home, the famous Bob Nystrom goal. But the point is that was a real story. Like, that was more than one person telling me about this, that was part of that contingent. So there's that. There's obviously all the other things that we know, that Keyshawn Johnson has told the story about, the stuff that is yelled at him when he played there with Tampa. Like, now we're doing this. This is where Philadelphia is right now as a sports town. Please don't sell your tickets to opposing fans so they'll take over the building. That's Philadelphia right now. That's the Philly sports fan. That's the Philly sports town. Please don't sell your tickets to New Yorkers. Embarrassing, Bart. It's embarrassing, man.
You shouldn't have to. They should already know that.
I mean, they shouldn't even be available. Please don't sell your tickets. It's game six.
It's not like it's like the like last year with the Jets playing and don't sell your tickets.
It's game six, Bart. It's game six. Why should I even have to ask my fans not to sell that? Why would you sell your tickets? Why wouldn't you want to go to the game? You got tickets to game six. You can force a game seven. You have a guy, Tyrese Maxey, just gave you the best game you've seen since Allen Iverson by a guard. You lived through Ben Simmons and James Harden. You finally got a guy that can actually play in clutch time, who actually can make a big shot. And I got to ask you to come watch the game? Hey, do me a favor. If you don't mind, I know you already got tickets. Can you come to it? You mind coming to the game instead of selling it? Because I got some wacko from Wall Street that's going to jump in a car and drive 2 hours down so they can take over the building again? Is that what you want? This is the Philly sports fan. This is who you are right now, Philadelphia. That tweet, and I mean, oh my God. That tweet is everything to me. We bought 2,000 seats in a 20,000-seat arena so that they don't take over. It's going to take a lot more than 2,000 seats.
Like, it's still 18,000 available.
Oh, my God. This is who you are, big, bad Philly sports town. Rough and tumble. Don't come down here. Please. Not only are we coming down there, we're taking over your building again. And there's nothing you can do about it because you clearly don't want to go. But Knicks fans do.
Right. It's commerce. Your business, man.
Embarrassing.
He should have made everything free.
800-919-3776. I mean, seriously.
Like, first 5,000 get in free. And then 10,000 going to come in and sell the other tickets to them.
I'm trying to think. Other than, obviously, Brooklyn, which, remember James Harden having to do that whole message? That was embarrassing. Other than that.
So Brooklyn don't count for New York.
Like, in the playoffs, and now, regular season, I understand. Like, again, Dolphins fans come in the Met Live, Cowboys fans, I get it. But I'm talking about playoff games. Has that ever happened in New York? I mean, has Shea Stadium ever been like overrun by Dodgers fans? Has Shea Stadium ever been overrun? Like, you know, did Braves fans come in? Yeah. Did Cardinals fans fill the building in 06? Like, did we have that? Are we begging fans? Oh, don't sell your tickets. Don't sell your tickets. Are you crazy? Did Red Sox fans fill Yankee Stadium? No. Even in Boston, that doesn't happen. Philly, I'm telling you right now, I think we got to pull the card. We got to pull their card. It's not a sports town anymore, Bart. It's not. It's sad. It's pathetic. It's front running. That's what that is. Front running. It's game six of a playoff series.
You would think that the Eagles would never have to put out that statement.
Well, you know they don't. Like, but for the Sixers?
Yeah.
I mean, you watched Ben Simmons say, I don't want to take this layup. You were there for that. You filled the building for that. You watched James Harden fumble the ball away against the Celtics in a game six. You were there for that. I didn't hear Celtics fans taking over the building. You can't, with Tyrese Maxey giving you a 47-point from the jaws of defeat performance, and you're not going to go to the game? Instead, you're going to... You got to be begged. Do me a favor. Don't sell the tickets to Knicks fans. I'm going to sell the tickets to whoever pays the highest price. That's what I'm going
to
do.
They got other stuff to do, man. Clearly,
do they?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, it's nice outside, so you have the rowing thing going on right there on that little river they have. Yeah, you know, it's a big rowing town. It's Philly. They do the rowboating.
The rowboating?
Yeah, I mean.
No, I don't.
Rowboating. They have, like, rowing teams down there, like the college
crew?
Yeah. And then, but, like, they do it leisurely, too.
Leisurely?
Yeah. They do it for fun.
Really?
Yeah. It's a big thing in Philly. You never been driving in Philly. You see them in that little river that goes on there, and they out there like the University of Penn.
I mean, you're talking about
Wharton.
The Spuckel.
Yeah, the Spuckel.
The Spuckel?
Yeah. Spuckel is hot right now.
Spuckel.
Yeah, Spuckel.
So it's you think people would rather you just row than go to a Sixers game?
It's big in Philly.
People would rather just like row, go, you know, do some crew.
And watch it on TV.
And watch the game on TV.
Yeah, it's cool.
Interesting. But nobody's rowing on the East River in New York. They'd rather go to a Knicks game.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the experience is a little different. You never know who you're going to see. I mean, how many times they want to see Meek Mill and Kevin Hart? I mean, been there, done that.
Baritone, Queens, I need you. Baritone.
Oh, what's going on? What's going on? I think they should put money to...
Baritone, you like rowing? You like to get out on a boat, row a little bit?
No, not at all.
Not doing that?
I'm scared of the water.
What do you got?
I think the owner should put more money into that Allen Iverson statue, if anything.
Well, it's a little
small. They got more questions than they answer.
Yeah. That statue's – I know he wasn't the biggest player, but that statue's tiny. Have you seen that thing?
Yeah, it was like a mini statue. What's up with that, man?
If I was him, I'd be mad.
That's like the size of the stuff in Monument Park for like baseball plaques. It's like the size of the baseball plaque they got in Yankee Stadium.
I mean, it's like yeah, that was weird.
They say all the Philly statues like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, it's true because, you know what, here's the ironic thing. You know that Iverson statue is outside the practice facility.
Oh, that's
because we're talking
worse.
Practice.
Ooh, that's
even it's true.
Worse.
All of their they have like a whole row. And they have all the
Ray said it again. It's a gnome. It's a garden gnome.
The Iverson statue is a garden gnome. Andrew in Queens. Andrew.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
So, first of all, quickly before my point about the last 2 minute report. The only time I've ever seen like a fan base get banned from a stadium before a game was when I was over in England for a soccer match, and they actually banned an entire club supporter from Germany from coming over. And the reason why they did that was because the last time that fan base was there, they terrorized like parts of the stadium and whatnot.
That. Yeah, no, that was they had to do that, right?
Exactly. And like it was funny because I was there and like you had to be a member of Tottenham Hotspur in order to do it. And people were showing up trying to buy tickets. They said, no, unless you are a member, you can't do it. So I get that. Philly's scared. Carolina's scared, too, for doing the same thing to the Rangers or trying to do the same thing to the Rangers. But doesn't matter. New York will always find a way to get in. With the last 2 minute report, look, if MLB, football, NBA is going to put those kind of stuff out, we all can see it with our own eyes when something is wrong and they get it wrong. There's no point to putting that stuff out there unless there's a consequence. And when I say consequence, I mean like tell me that you're going to fine or you're going to suspend the referee, the umpire for X many games. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, tell me that, you know, you're going to cancel certain bets. You know, say there's a parlay and someone had Maxi, you know, under the points and that 3-point play put it over and that killed the parlay, then the parlay's dead. You're not winning money. You would have won money if the officials got it right. So there has to be some sort of consequences if you're going to put that stuff out there. If not, then what's the point of it? There's no point.
Yeah, that's. I think they're trying to have that transparency, but you're right. And that's why the gambling part of this, too, is you realize that, okay, we screwed up. Like I was talking about this, too, and thank you, Andrew. You remember when you know, you protest the game? The Knicks protested that Houston game, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, if they won the – because this has happened. It's rare. But it has happened before where they've replayed the ending of a game. The last time it happened was like in 2008,
was it Shaq?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it was like, yeah.
The free throw or something.
Yes.
The fouls.
Like he fouled out and he shouldn't have fouled out, I think it's what it was. But if you replay that game and it's a different ending, well, wait. So if I won the bet instead of lost the bet, or I won the bet,
yeah,
you're not getting the money back from me.
Money back, yeah.
And the people that now, oh, wait, that game's now a win. Shouldn't I win that bet? Like, that's so – you cannot possibly fix that problem. You can't.
That's why if they do that, they'll probably delay the payout for money. You know what I mean? When you think about – you know what I mean? After the report comes out, that's probably something, the appropriate thing for them to do.
good luck trying to even track all that down, and then you have the fraud and everything.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you delay it. Like okay, like you know, when if you win, your payout will be in 48 hours once the report comes out. You know what I'm saying? Just to make sure. But then you'll have people that be irate. Talk about people trying to get at
people. Oh my god. Yeah. But I'm surprised at you because I thought you'd have a little more like of a visceral response to Philadelphia the way. Like I'm really disgusted.
It's comical to me.
I'm disgusted.
That's
with
how you know they scared. I mean, the fact that you got Don
Charles Barkley is like, you know, yeah. No, don't let Knicks fans come in the building.
You got
Don
Stelly.
People begging you.
I mean, you got Don Stelly. Yeah, if you got to beg and you got to give tickets away like that,
your owners are buying tickets. Don Staley's telling you don't do it. All these tickets are still available. Like, you have to beg people to go to a playoff game. That doesn't make sense. Like, you lost your card as a great sports town. If one of your major sports teams is in the playoffs, late in a series, and you're worried that you're not going to get enough people in the building.
But that's what I'm saying.
You lost your card. There's no way you love the Sixers then. Philadelphia is Eagles. Maybe Philly's after them. I might even put the Flyers ahead of the Sixers. And the Flyers suck.
Ooh.
They were a little good this year, but they're not like they used to be.
But that's where I'm going at it. Man. The process hasn't worked.
The process is dead. If you need to beg people to come to the building,
but I think
in a game six, process is dead.
Yeah, I think when you think about that though, the whole thing when you think about it, like they don't have faith because they've seen this team come up short all the time. So just imagine talk about the heartbreak for Jets fans and sometimes Knicks fans. You know what I mean? Imagine a heartbreak for these Philadelphia Sixers fans, right? Watching Harden, falling short with Harden, couldn't figure it out, the double bounce. You know what I mean? The process. They've been living in the process. When they get there, they can't get past the second round. Like, what are you talking about? So, like, they got no faith. They can talk like they got faith. They got no faith that the Sixers or this team is going to do anything.
So you think it's more about how they feel?
They got PTSD.
About the team.
Yes.
They don't trust the team.
This team has never got past the second round.
You know what, though? I don't want to hear it. If you're a real sports town, you go to your playoff games. You just do. That's what you do when you're a real sports town. What Philadelphia is doing here as a Sixer, this is like – this is – I swear to God, this is seriously like you're the Marlins. You know? Not really turning out. Like the Braves have this issue sometimes. Like, this is embarrassing for a Northeast. This is the Northeast. You know what I mean? This is not Midwest where you can understand. People just don't – like, they're not really into the team. They're not buying in. It's too expensive. It's not worth my time.
No.
Philadelphia
Midwest
is supposed to be one of the best sports town in the country. They brag about it all the time. Their sports talk radio is as obnoxious as any market there is in the country. And you're telling me that you're begging people to, like, don't sell your tickets to Knicks fans. Don't let Knicks fans in the building. Like, guess what? The cockroaches are coming, and you can't get them out.
Yeah, I tell you.
They're in your house, and they're not coming out.
Midwest fans are, to me, more loyal than Miami and the guys of the East Coast. You want to know why? Because we don't have the things that the East Coast has. We don't have the busy cities outside of maybe Chicago. Like, you know, Cleveland, all those teams, there's no way the Cleveland Browns wouldn't sell out an arena when they –
I think NFL is a different story because it's once a week.
I mean, even the Cavaliers.
But, I mean, playoffs, though, again, we can't do regular – it's playoffs.
Bro,
playoffs.
Even the Cavaliers right now, I guarantee you're selling out. Listen,
oh, yeah, you're getting 25,000.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You ain't talking about, Magic fans came and took over the stadium.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the Knicks did play their Magic in the playoffs, that would have been also a whole bunch of Knicks fans.
Well, that's different, but they played Cleveland. You never heard Cleveland complain about that last
year.
No,
last year, no. Not
because Cleveland, they spend money.
Now, look, proximity is everything in this. I get it. Proximity is a big part of this because it's basically an hour and a half drive. I understand. Proximity has to do with this.
I never heard about Knicks fans really taking over Boston or Boston fans taking over the Garden in the playoffs.
Thank you.
So that's saying proximity.
You think Eastern Conference Finals, if the Knicks and the Celtics play each other, you think this is going to be a problem for the Celtics? You think they're going to be like, hey, don't sell your tickets to Knicks fans?
Not at all.
Are you crazy? They don't have to worry about that. They know people are coming.
You know, out of Boston and New York, Philly is like
a sad day.
It's like Philly's like the little brothers.
Sad day, Bart. Sad day. Philadelphia, the day the sports town died. All right, audio files coming up. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Game 6 tonight, Knicks and Sixers. Who's going to step up for the Knicks tonight to close this series out? That was the conversation the guys had earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
When you look at both of these teams, you look at the other guys, the other pieces. I feel like we have better other pieces. Our problem is we have Jaylen and then a huge drop-off.
But you assume that one of the other guys most nights is going to step up. If it's not Dante, it'll be McBride. Okay. If it's not McBride, it's going to be OG. Like right. Someone you would expect to step
but
up.
But that guy stepping up isn't close to what the Sixers have at the top.
That's right.
Like you have Maxey averaging 32 and Embiid averaging close to 32.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, only here on 98.7 FM.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
No, I'm not trying to be rude, but Calderon, we're dealing you the way you do
there
things
he is.
You do. Reminds me of point guards poop. That's why we need to add some skill. Trying to get you out like hell. You probably make a better coach. The way you play can't be healed.
Let's give him that
boot, boot.
Look at us new
PG. He's running this offense too slow. Killing old 24. Now we sing on the radio.
Which one was this now?
Oh, this was the Knicks' new tradition.
Point guards are shot. He got every Knicks fan here wishing. Melo out on the run. I'm like KP can dunk. It's second offense, baby. Our time the Knicks got up and run.
Those bounce, are the days. Bounce, bounce,
bounce, what a time machine.
Bounce, bounce, miss, it really bounce, was. Bounce, bounce, the days when the Knicks didn't have a point guard. He said, bounce, bounce, whoops.
If only they could draft somebody like KP.
Yeah, it's a shame. They actually did. Yeah. So that's one of the dish. I remember one about Dellavedova during the finals. There was that one. But there was also, what was the, there was a baseball one that was really good.
Oh, the Murphy's balling one.
That's right. That's when the
Dale went. Murphy. Murphy's balling.
Yeah, this was good. See, those were the days, man. So now, would Rick write these for you? Was he your lyricist?
No, there was a collab.
It was a collab.
Yeah, maybe we'd come up with something, and then I'd hit the lyrics and
Ricky
put
Rose,
it together.
You guys would get into the studio and put together some of these. These were always good.
Bars.
But that one about reminding Knicks fans what life was like without a point guard, that's literally what that song was. How an offense was just god-awful.
Oh, Jose Calderon.
I see him every now and then. He just kind of like gives me this look.
I heard that song you wrote about me, Han.
Oh, I'm just not going to say hello. Wind Creek Bethlehem is your kind of fabulous. Enjoy Pennsylvania's loosest slots and most free play, plus live stadium gaming, a poker room, and the sportsbook powered by Betfred Sports. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, plenty of calls to get to, and we certainly will. But right now, of course, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
Well, we begin with this.
Hi, Bard.
Hey, what up?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Why did she clear her? Did you hear that? Like,
hi, Bard.
Hey, what up?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
See how like she almost had to go more to a formal like hi, Bard. Hello, Alan.
Shucks, darn it.
You know, she could let her head down around Bart. You know, she got to keep it up with Alan.
Keep it professional.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
It's a little bit different that way.
Keep
Bart's got a lot to say today. Bart, I'm telling you, you are like, you're bringing it today. You have so much to talk about. I'm trying to like keep you calm.
I'll get you fired up.
No, I'm saving my voice. You know what I'm saying?
So I can cheer
tonight.
For your hour-long pregame show and then hour-long postgame show?
Yeah,
or two
man.
Hours of get-up that you no longer have to do because we're doing all basketball tomorrow?
Yeah, y'all kick me off. Thanks a lot.
Because I have a crush on you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for taking money out of my pocket.
Yeah. So you would think then during this three-hour radio show, you'd be like, don't worry, I got you. Well, tomorrow.
No, I'm building your muscles up like tips. You know what I'm saying? I'm letting you work. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So you can build the muscles up.
Gotcha.
Because when the Knicks go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals,
yes.
And go to game six, push the Celtics all the way to game six.
I will be dead. I will not make it. I will be lyrically deceased. Chris Canty's going to hang with us tomorrow. You looking forward to that?
Yeah,
you're going to buy me breakfast, and then Chris Canty's going to hang with us.
Well, should Chris buy us breakfast? No, Chris is going to be tired, too, because he's going
to
come
up. He's
got
his show, but he wants to hang with us because we're going to be at Seaport in our old studio. So
that's what's up, man.
All right. I hope you're ready for that.
Maybe we should mix it up.
What do you mix it up?
Spend the big bucks and go to – I'll be trying to find some place.
No. We stick with it. We stick with the diner.
Same diner, man.
Yes.
I ordered everything you can order.
I know. You literally do order everything.
Jeez. There's nothing else to order from there.
Oh, there's plenty of things to order. So, yes, Knicks and the Sixers tonight, Game 6 in Philadelphia. It is a late start. Note the start time, 9 p.m. tip-off. We have a full-hour pregame show for you on MSG. I believe, though, here on 98.7 ESPN, it's a half-hour, right? 8:30 is when we begin the pregame?
That's correct.
Okay. So, Josh Hart speaking this morning at the shoot-around. What does he think about 9 o'clock tip-off on the East Coast?
No idea what the hell I'm about to do. I guess usually I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat, sleep, and then I don't know.
When you played like the Monday Night Football,
yes.
Like how hard was that a long day? Because you're used to
it
1 o'clock, right?
It is, and you want to make sure you don't burn yourself out. You got to make sure that you sleep, get off your feet. You know what I'm saying? You want to – like, that's a problem is timing up your last meal, right? So, like, you think seemingly if they're playing at 9, they probably get over to the arena and start shooting around. I don't know how basketball works, but for us, we get over there maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours before the game starts. So, you want to eat that last meal at, like, 7:30, you know what I'm saying, so you can get the benefits of the nutrition. And then, you know, you hope that – you know, by the time the game starts, you got to fight for not being sleepy, you know, because your body's accustomed to maybe like shutting down or starting to gear down sometimes. So, like, when you got the Monday night game or you got the late game like that, you want to make sure you sleep all day so you're awake.
Interesting.
But you can't sleep around too much because then you get in that tired mode and it's hard to wake your body up.
That's again, how both teams handle this is going to be interesting. The Knicks have had bad starts. Slow starts because your body has to wake up. They've been down by 8 to 10 points. I think it's like a little over 6 points per game. They're on the negative side in the first quarters of this series. So they've been having to chase the scoreboard. It's not helpful the later you go on here. So
Sidebar. I'm looking at Donis Haslem on First Take time watching it.
You're not watching your Mets?
No, it's kind of on in the background.
Oh, okay.
This dude must have been smoking weed since he was 2.
Who's that?
I never seen somebody. Man, the char has went from one lip to the other lip all the way down to the goatee. This boy is a professional chiefer, boy. Jeez, he was smoking cigarettes. That ain't just weed. That's okay. Cigarettes, Newports, Black and Miles, Cherry Blunt.
All but right. Jerry,
can we continue with audio files?
Jeez,
I got a lot to get to here.
Whoa!
Just so you know,
that's my smoke right there.
Mavs beat the Clippers last night. I mean, absolutely destroyed them, I should say.
Yeah.
123-93. This is a playoff game. This was a game, like, seriously, a game five. Dallas leads the series now 3-2, and the Clippers still playing without Kawhi Leonard. You know, they drive you crazy because they have all the ability in the world, but yet you got Harden, Westbrook, and PG, and they combined for like 8-36 from the field together. It was a really, really embarrassing loss. And Tyronn Lue was talking about a message going into game six.
Guys obviously have to have a very short memory after this game. What's your message to them tonight to ensure that that happens going into game six?
I don't have a message.
I don't have a message.
That's how, like, when your parents trying to act you, they mad.
Damn.
So then you just like, yeah. Listen, it's disappointing that Harden would only give you 7 points.
You all right?
Yeah. Hart.
Oh, boy. All right,
that Harden would give you 7 points after seemingly, like, figuring it out when Kawhi's not there, more space, more aggressive. They want a Houston James. And then only put up 7 points that game. Like, come on, man.
No, you're playing, by the way, at home, and you lost by 30, like in a playoff game.
They ran him out gym. They sped up the pace. Even Lucas went a little fast. I mean, it looked like Kyrie was throwing
Lucas playing on a sore knee, and he played great. He had a bad game four, but he was great in game five.
Anyways, they were throwing oops from half court.
Yeah, this series might be over. And I thought the Clippers had a chance. Why you keep believing in the Clippers? That's my moment. That's on me. That's my bet. Now, another blowout. The NBA last night sucked. Because this is another blowout. The Celtics beat the Heat to finish that series off in a gentleman's sweep, 4-1. 118.
Jimmy Buckets.
84.
Jimmy Buckets won a max. He won 113 for 2 years.
Yeah, why not? Because when he doesn't play, they're really bad, as you can see. Jason Tatum, remember, last year they got accused a lot of playing with their food, just not finishing off series, and it cost them in the conference finals. This year, they're not doing that. They're playing a lot tougher.
No, I think the world we live in, it's got to be something wrong with every team. That's what they like to say. And you can see how talented we are. I think it's lazy or easy to say that, you know, teams can out-tough us, right? And I never understood that. Like, what's the definition of tough? Like, having the louder guys on your team, like, that don't make you tough. You know, everybody has their own definition of what toughness is. It's playing the right way, showing up every day to do your job without complaining. I think that's being tough.
All right, while that's a right answer, I do think that they do lack a mental toughness when it comes to sometimes
a killer mentality.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Right. Mental toughness is not the right word.
Yeah, they respond when they get embarrassed or somebody beat them or something. Yeah. They come back mad, but why we got to get you there? Why
exactly.
Why you have pain to be able to be uber aggressive?
Put teams away. You're way better than them. Don't mess around. Don't get lazy. Don't get complacent. They did that a lot last year. They did not do that in this series. That's good on them. Last but not least, Matt Ishbia is the new owner of the Phoenix Suns. We thought maybe after an embarrassing sweep exit and all the money that he spent putting his team together that there'd be some decisions that they need to make, whether it's with their coach, whether it's with the three stars they put together that clearly is not working. But the owner says, no, we are rolling forward.
The narrative around the house is burning, it's incorrect. The Phoenix Suns are doing great. Excellent. Not as good as we want to be and not as good as we're going to do next year. And that's what we're going to figure out. What do we got to tweak, modify, adjust to win a championship next year?
He sounds like
everything's great.
He
Everything
like
is awesome.
Yeah, he sounds like a stubborn, arrogant new owner.
Yep.
Who thinks that his money can buy his way out of problems and not have to make the proper decision maker and have the proper people there and a true vision forward about how do you win now and win later.
There is a stubbornness there that you can certainly hear.
Because he's young. He's a young guy. And he's the richest guy in the league. And I think
Steve Ballmer's the richest guy in the league.
No.
Trust me. Yes, Steve Ballmer is the richest guy in the league.
I don't think so. Trust me. Nobody comes close
to Steve Ballmer.
I don't know, but okay.
Okay. Well, the other thing that we don't have is James Jones saying that we have to maximize Kevin Durant, which nobody else has done yet. And I'm like, what? I believe the Warriors did, but okay. All right. Meanwhile,
so he's saying he's going to do something that nobody's done. He think he can do it.
I don't know, but it's a lot. So don't expect KD to be traded now. Which, you know, so take that off the list.
Well, I think that's up to KD.
Last but not least, in the boxing world, because I know you're into this, Ryan Garcia testing positive for a PED.
I want to hear
the
that.
Day before.
It was voluntary testing. Nevada testing.
Yeah,
which is the strictest one. A PED, all that stuff. Nah.
Not
buying
it?
He beat Devin Haney ass.
This is him on Twitter.
Everybody knows that I don't cheat. What can I say? You know,
really?
Why didn't they come out with this before, you know, the fight? If they found it before, why would they let me step into the ring as a cheater?
Who's that?
And then come out with a victory and then they post this, you know? Again, these are people that are trying to attack me for whatever reason, but no weapon against me shall prosper. I never taken a steroid. I don't even know where to get steroids at the end of the day.
What is she?
I barely,
man?
You know, take supplements.
What's going on?
They're saying it's coming from the ashwagandha. That's so.
At the end lies. Of
the day, big lies. I beat his ass out of here. Everybody go to Warwick tonight. It's lit.
Golden Boy.
Ashwagandha. That's supposed to be for your yin yang.
Yeah. Golden Boy Promotions. Of course, it's Oscar De La Hoya, put out a statement saying that Ryan has put out multiple statements denying knowingly using any banned substances, believe him.
So, knowingly.
Are you buying this or not buying this? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't think what he needed. It's like to me, it's like Aaron Pryor against Alexis Arguello. Like, oh, what about the black bottle? And then he had to take the rematch, and he beat the hell out of Alexis Arguello again. And Alexis Arguello could have finished, but he quit laying on the ground. It's like one of those things. Like, this ain't the first time that Garcia had beat him. He beat him in the minors as well. Sometimes you just match up bad. You know, Vernon Forrester, Forrester, like Shane Mosley could never beat him. It's just a bad matchup. He and even though Shane was a better boxer, be a Hall of Famer, he got his ass kicked by Vernon Forrester, who he just couldn't beat. Never. Like, not in the amateurs or at all. And Forrester would lose to everybody else, but he beat Shane Mosley's ass. Like, Devin has lost multiple times to Ryan Garcia, and he thought maybe because he was there. So you can say it was PEDs and all that type of stuff. Them PEDs didn't help him with that left hook that Devin Haney couldn't take. Like, you take a steroid or not, it ain't going to add that much power to your punching power type of stuff. You know what I mean? He lost, and he lost fair and square, in my opinion. And this is, I think, another way for them to try and give Devin Haney some confidence. Like, oh, see, you lost to a guy that was cheating. So, really, you undefeated. You ain't never lost. No, man. We believe our eyes. And it had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, he took a PED. Maybe, you know, Devin Haney can't make that weight anymore. He was too drawn. And, you know, Garcia did to him what Tank did to him. You know what I'm saying? He came in and made sure that he didn't have a one of these weight clauses in there where he couldn't rehydrate, so he rehydrated. He felt good, and it give you more energy because you're not drawn and trying to rehydrate 24 hours before a fight. Ryan Garcia said he's not going to fight him again. Whether he did it or not, it's cool because in a court of public opinion, Ryan Garcia still got the way.
All right, that's Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to your call. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's take Freddie in Springfield. What's happening, Freddie?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great job.
Thank you. What's up?
If you allow me, I'd like to make 2 points. Good. One about the end of the Met game with the Alonzo tag at the plate,
right.
And one about Embiid. First of all, if Alonzo had gotten to second and not third, I think definitely the Mets would have had a runner. But being he got to third, you know, I know he got thrown out at the end, if you believe that or not, but that was the difference between second and third, I think.
Yep, that's a good point. Yeah, I was asking the question because, you know, I was flipping between four games last night, so I did not really get a full analysis of it. Usually, you know, Keith and Ron are fantastic on explaining that stuff and asking those questions, so I didn't hear it, and that's why I was asking.
Yeah, well, anyway, I mean, you know, I don't care if you're a Mets fan, you're not a Mets fan. If you know, if you're an honest person, you watch these replays. Sometimes you scratch your head because the replay clearly shows that they were wrong, and they keep it that way. But that one last night, you can't honestly say that was a bad call. The only thing that was true was the fact that the guy had his foot on the plate, and the umpire should have never got to that point.
Yeah.
But when his hand came in, his hand clearly was up in the air until, and then when he put it down, you didn't see it anymore. But you did see the tag. That was so close.
The hand went up over the foot, right? Like, that's what happened. That's why they were arguing about the foot, because his hand went in up over the foot.
Call wasn't made because of the foot.
I know. He got the hand down, and I guess the argument would be, well, the foot got in the way. He would have touched the plate sooner, and he wouldn't have been out if the foot wasn't in the way. And they didn't see it that way. But I still think he got it in there. The problem is they just, you know, there wasn't enough on the replay to overturn the call on the field. And I guess if I'm Mendoza, I'm pissed because as an umpire, you should have seen that with your own eyes. And you didn't.
Yeah,
you
know, definitely.
Like the idea that he was there. So, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
The other point I wanted to make is about Embiid. Now, I'm a giant Yankee Ranger fan, but I root for all the local teams as secondary. Like, you know, I'm not a Yankee fan that hates the Mets. I'm not a Giant fan that hates the Jets.
Okay.
But I do hate Philadelphia, like most people in our area. And I got to say, I hate Embiid. I think I had heard reports about him being dirty before this series, and I didn't know whether that was true or not. Until this series, and it's obvious that he definitely was dirty in this series so far. But the point is that I've been hearing a lot of different radio shows saying, like, you know, he's not showing up, he's not interested in the fourth quarter. It's utterly ridiculous. The guy's a friggin' gladiator. The fact that he's on the court with all his physical problems is amazing. I mean, it's amazing that he could even get to the fourth quarter. But when he gets to the fourth quarter, he's spent. He's done.
Yep.
Not because he's not great or he's not interested. He's shot.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. And I've said to people, it's not the knee, it's his conditioning. He missed, you know, 3 months. He's not in condition to play playoff basketball. The Knicks had outworked. I mean, he was throwing the ball away. We got to run, Freddie, but thank you. He was throwing the ball away in that fourth quarter. He was literally giving the game away to the Knicks with all those turnovers that he had. It was just Maxey just came up with another worldly performance in 30 seconds, and the whole game turned. But that Embiid was just – he had nothing left. And I would expect the same tonight, especially with a 9 o'clock start. I would expect the same tonight. Embiid is not going to have anything in the tank in the fourth quarter. The Knicks have got to make sure they are either in the game close or even have a lead. And they should win the game. That's simple. Very, very simple. All right, Power Hour coming up. Bart, tell me about BetMGM.
Yeah, NBA playoffs are here, and the New York Knicks are in. It's time for you to hit the court with BetMGM, an authorized betting partner of the NBA. All you got to do is download the BetMGM app today and make every playoff game, every vital play mean so much more than ever with same game parlays, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the BetMGM app at your fingertips, you can experience the excitement of wagering on the NBA playoffs and get in on all the blue and orange action as the New York Knicks drive the lane. Find out why basketball fans love BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks. Download the app and take the king of sportsbooks with you wherever you go. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Physically present in New York and New Jersey only. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thank you. Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. While it's been a series filled with what-ifs tonight, it's Game 6, Knicks and Sixers. Earlier this morning on DPetro and Rothenberg, the guys were talking about the series, but also the future of the Knicks.
I believe Julius Randle will never play another game for the Knicks.
It would make sense. I mean, financially.
And you hear what you get? Because
you're going to have to give
it from the side. Knicks are better without him.
They're not, though. They're not. There's no one. There is no one on that team outside of Jalen Brunson that you have to game plan for.
That's right.
You say to yourself, as long as we don't let Jalen Brunson beat us, we'll take our chances with everyone else. You can't say that when Julius is on the floor.
No.
People think that the ball moves better without Julius.
It does move better without Julius.
Yeah, but I think the version of Julius that we had before he got hurt is the best version.
That's the best version you could
possibly get. The physical, we're not going to settle for threes version. That's the better version.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoy Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.